Hello, respected viewers. It's George from Ireland, and here I am in Oxford University, right in the heart of it, around Duke Humphrey's library. But what we're seeing here, this only dates from the late 15th century. Anyway, so Oxford University dates back in some form to the late 12th century. There were various monasteries around here. The monks, they were teaching. But Oxford University as such, it dates from probably the early 13th century. Now, UNIV, as in University College Oxford, claims to the oldest college in Oxford University, founded in 1249, but it is disputed by Merton and Balliol. It's unclear exactly what constitutes a college. So they're all within half a mile of here, but they don't necessarily occupy their original site. So this is the oldest university in the British Isles, the oldest university in the Anglosphere, the third oldest extant university in the world. The University of Bologna and the University of Paris are the only ones that are older. Obviously in ancient Greece, ancient China and India, there were universities, but they no longer continue to this day. So up here we see a relief statue of, sculpture of King James I. Okay, so it says in Latin there, the most learned king who munificently caused this work to be expanded and so on and filled the library. And it goes on about the debt that we owe him because of the gifts that he happily bestowed upon the academy as in the university. And then above him it says Prince of Peace. You see the angels beside him, the books he's handing out. And then you see, look, the figure of justice with the scales of justice, and she's blindfold beside him. And then you see the Royal Coat of Arms right at the top. So it's really just incredible what detail there. And even lower down, you can see more coats of arms and more faces carved in there. I don't know who are there of. So Oxford's got loads of these. Now, there's some gargoyles, but these are more like sort of 17th century figures. And you just see the detail in the stonework there, up to behold the Harp of Ireland there and so forth, and on the other side. So that he was the Scot Solomon, the most outstanding intellectual there's been, who's King of England, but that's not saying much. Of course, he's originally King of Scots and inherited the crown from his mother when she was deposed, when he was one, and she was executed in 1588, and then he became King of England when his second cousin twice removed, Elizabeth I, died without issue. So he came down here. And he wrote a number of books, Basilicon, Doron, The Royal Gift, or The True Law of Free Monarchies, and so on. And in those days, exams were all oral and in Latin. So one time an undergraduate here at Oxford came in to have his finals, his examination, expecting some don, as in professor, would be questioning him. And then it was actually the king who was going to do the oral. So the poor student fainted, not surprisingly, was revived. History doesn't record whether he then passed the exam or not when he came to. Anyway, look at this stonework up above. You know, it always repays praise at Oxford to crane your neck and see this. And of course, it would have been painted at one time. So here we are in the Bodleian Library. Some of it's because of Sir Thomas Bodley founded it. This bit down here is Duke Humphrey's library. There you can see a statue of Duke Humphrey, who was the younger half-brother of King Henry V. And Humphrey, Duke of Gloucester, he helped to establish this library. And you can go into a bit of it, which is called Duke Humphrey's Library, up there behind me. Well, behind him rather, which is a very fine mid-15th century wooden panelled library with a lot of those books from that era, many of them handwritten. So, and when they established that library in 1438, Oxford University had a grand total of 6 books. I think the colleges may have had them additionally, so it's confusing the way the colleges as well as the university. So Oxford University is a federal system, and the college of the states, if you were, is not to say that a college only does one subject. They say, oh, you've got one college for engineering, one college for chemistry, one college for French. No. Most colleges do most subjects. Most of them take undergraduates and postgraduates. A few of them take postgraduates only. So there he is. Okay, so look at his coat of arms. On y soit qui mal y pense, on the garter. Shame upon him who thinks badly of it. Okay, so here we have... I see this great likeness of this man, and it was put here by Peter and Paul Rubens and so on. So this is Thomas Pembroke Thomas, who was the Earl of Pembroke and Montyon, an honored and virtuous man, okay? And he's the one who gave all this to Oxford University. So Thomas Bodley. Bodley was his name, and that's what's known as the Bodleian Library. You can see, so this is open to you, Oxford University. It says it's got the Oxford University coat of arms. The blue should be rather darker. Dark blue for Oxford, light blue for Cambridge, the three crowns and dominus illuminatio mea, a quotation from the Book of Psalms. And as every child can tell, dominus illuminatio mea means the Lord is my light. Looking right up, you can see a lot more of these gargoyles there to ward off the evil spirits, some people's initials. I'm not sure that would scare off the evil spirits. So there are many, many of them, but there's some joke 19th century ones to look like kangaroos and so forth. There was a book, Oxford and Empire, showing some of these things. So maybe you get an idea of the scale of the place now. And I'm always conscious when I rewatch my videos that I do these things too fast, because I've seen this thing myriad times. You've never seen it before, gentle viewer. So you need time to focus and think, what am I actually looking at before I move on? But I'll show you some of the faces, which I find more amusing, a little bit curious. So coming over to this archway here, how about these faces here, which are looking very early 20th century? The fact they're clean shaven tells you something. Look at his tonsure, this chap over here. Now, he's not going to frighten anyone off. And who's this over here? Is that Rudyard Kipling? And look at the books behind him. Okay, and another dedication, okay, to the Earl of Pembroke. Right, and so he was Chancellor of this university and so on, and his motto, and I will serve, and it's got the royal code, royal mottos as well. Okay, honi soit qui mal y pense. Shame upon him who thinks badly of it. Relating back to the Order of the Garter, when Edward III picked up a lady's garter, and to suggest this was not a lascivious gesture. And you see that School of Music, the School of Astronomy and Rhetoric and so on, with all these Latin titles. You don't have to know any Latin at all to come here these days, not since Responsions was abolished. That was the admissions test of the 1960s, where they used to test people in Latin, Greek, and mathematics. No test in English, mind. The idea, if you'd mastered those languages patently, you were good enough at English. And of course, well into the 19th century, most of the lectures and exams were in Latin, but that actually helped them make it international. And you go back to the early 18th century, almost all academic books were published in Latin anyway. Newton published all his works in Latin, Clavis Mathematicae and all the rest of it. You see the School of Grammar and History and so forth. So even though they were studying things through Latin or ancient Greek, they were still studying history, philosophy, whatever, physics through these things, and the School of Metaphysics, and so it goes on. So that is a little bit of the Duke Humphrey's Library, the Bodleian Library, right at the heart of Oxford University. And then up here, you can see the Oxford University coat of arms. So this is in rather better shape. And the two angels, these ladies are holding it up. You see the three crowns more clearly there. Is it focused yet? Dominus Illuminatio Mea. The Lord is my light. Well, thank you so very much for watching this. And I hope to film inside these buildings someday. And look at the coat of arms as we go out. And yet again, the university coat of arms overhead. And out towards the Clarendon building here, which is that's the Clarendon building, but it's currently under wraps, undergoing some renovation. So many, many happy days I spent here. So you can't see what that's about. Named after the Earl of Clarendon, who was Chancellor in the late 17th century. Donated a lot of money from the proceeds of his sale of his book, The Great Rebellion, which is about the English Civil War. And just here is the Sheldonian Theatre, named in honour of the Earl of Sheldon. There was a Prime Minister by that title indeed, but he's not the one who this is named after. And I see the cupola up there. You can pay to go in there as a tourist. I mean, you can see most of this as a tourist, actually. All right, I shall turn it off for the moment. So thank you so much, and I hope you enjoyed your whistle-stop tour of some of the focal points of Oxford University, some of the most historic parts of the university. And here it is, the most ancient university in the Commonwealth. And so say bye-bye to those lovely gargoyles right up there. Okay, so goodbye from Oxford, everyone.